Welcome to this Red Meat and Wool Growth Program podcast brought to you by PIRZA.
Small dumpy sheep with dense yellow wool was not the final outcome the Lynn family were looking for when they wanted to increase the fleece weight from their flock in the 70s. While they were successful in increasing their wool cut, it resulted in other characteristics they didn't want. Chris Lim now runs the family properties on Upper Eyre Peninsula, and he's been applying a range of technologies to bolster several traits he wants in his flock. G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and Chris Lim joins me in the PIRZA studio to discuss how he's achieving those traits. Chris, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
First of all, what do you farm and where do you farm?
We farm Woodnut on the Upper Eyre Peninsula. We've also got a property north of Minnipa, so 4,000 hectares, mixed farm, so mixtures of cereal and sheep, and we crop about half of it is our program, and the other half has the sheep on it.
And how many sheep are you running, Chris, and what are they?
100% Merino ewes, about 1,500 of them in total, give or take, you know, depending on the seasons a bit, but that seems to be around about the figure. I've had more and I've had less, but that's about where we are.
Chris, what sort of traits have you been looking for and trying to narrow down in your flock?
Well, narrow down is probably the operative word there, Drew. I guess we've spent years, even though the market recently hasn't been sort of positive for this mode of action, we've been reducing our micron and trying to maintain or even increase our wool cut and maintain the body size of our ewe. So I guess it's slow progress when you're working on three variables at once, but that's what we've been trying to achieve.
Chris, I understand for a long time, though, you've been doing that through a manual process. What was it? From what I understand, it was reasonably labour-intensive.
Yeah, so I guess the story starts years ago with my late father in the 70s. He used to rattle the hoggets with an individual number, and then as they came through the shearing shed, he'd record the number and record the fleece weight. We had a spring balance on the wool table. And over a period of years, he successfully managed to increase the wool cut, but he was really only measuring the one thing, which was the fleece weight per head. So we finished up with small, dumpy sheep with real dense yellow wool, which, you know, meant that it was heavier fleeces, but didn't necessarily meet the specs of what we were trying to achieve. So after a few years of doing that, that idea was dumped.
Chris, that sounds like a lot of manual data entry, and as you said, you were just focusing on one trait there. You're now moving across into EID. How are you doing this through an electronic process?
I guess that process with the rattle was back in the 70s, and so when I came home from Roseworthy at the end of 2002, we're using individual animal numbers like printed on each tag. And so as the sheep came through the shearing shed, I was employing an extra person for when we shore the hoggets. We were reading the tags, taking a wool sample, weighing the fleece and recording it against the, you know, like it was a paper-based system of recording. So the EID has allowed us to streamline that a fair bit. So now I've got a wand that I wave past the shearer who's holding the sheep, and that prints out a barcode, and that's connected to a clipboard in with each stand, and then as the fleece hits the wool table's got a set of way bars under it, and so then we use just a barcode scanner to scan the sheep's individual ID with that fleece weight, and so it's sort of fairly seamless.
As you've outlined, you've got a lot of technology going on in your shearing shed, but I understand you've put a bit of a thought process into actually how that is all laid out and how the workflow goes so that things are as efficient as possible. What is that?
So, Drew, I think the main part of that process is to have the weigh bars under the wool table. That enables the shearing shed to work pretty much as it would without us weighing sheep. So as far as the rouseabouts are concerned, the only thing they have to do before they start picking the fleece is hands off the table, and their weigh head will beep at them and they can start picking again. So it's a one-second hold-up to the shearing sort of process between the board and the wool press rather than an extra process where you have to put the fleece down onto a set of scales and then pick it up again. And that just keeps the shed moving, maintains it as it should be. And it's, I think, like with any of these technology things, if it's easy to do, you tend to do it, and that's the sort of what we're trying to aim at.
When you were doing that all manually, that might be one thing recording it, but you would have also had to analyse it manually. You must have software now that helps you distill down that vast amount of data as well, wouldn't you?
Well, I didn't. So what I did was collate the data, I guess you'd say. So I just made a spreadsheet with, you know, ear tag number, fleece weight. Additionally, in the yards, we were weighing the sheep. So that meant I read the tag again out in the yards. So you'd read the tag, weigh the sheep, and I'd also take a side sample and then send that off as well. So, and I sent that to a third party, which was Ian Bradkey from Laserline. And so he got the fleece weights, the body weights, and a side sample. And he would, using all those three pieces of data, he ranked the hoggets from 1 to 300, 1 to 400, however many we had.
So, Chris, how's this actually helped you achieve the goals of what you want with the flock now?
What it achieves is it gives me the capacity to put some selection pressure on the ewe side of my flock. So it's tradition to, you know, do a good job of selecting your rams, and particularly now we've got good ASBVs from our studs, or some of our studs. We can put a lot of selection pressure on the ram side, but the selection on the hogget side was always the part that was a little bit difficult, and traditionally that's been run them down the draft, and for me it was pick the big ones and everything else went out the door to the cull. You know, you'd run them through the cull race and have a bit of a look, and that was about as much selection pressure as they got. But I think without measuring it, it's difficult to improve it, I guess is the motto we go by. So, you know, with some measurements on each of the hogget ewes, well, we can choose our best ones and improve our flock genetics just by selecting our better hoggets each year.
Now, Chris, you've got a lot of technology going on that shearing shed. There must be a bit of pressure from the shearers when it comes to actually making sure everything's working.
There is. We've got a fantastic shearing crew, and I guess they are involved and understand that what we're trying to do, improve our sheep all the time. So I've sort of got them on board, which is a big part of why it's been a successful operation, I suppose. But it is important to have all those sort of technical things sorted out. You want your zebra printer Bluetooth to your weighhead and to the scanning wand, and you know, you want everything working, and you want batteries charged well, and make sure everything works before they get there, because they really don't like standing around while you press buttons and wait for things to pair up, and then you don't want to be asking them to stop shearing because of something that you've done. So it's important to get all that pretty right well, long time before they get there, that's for sure.
Chris, what other technologies are you looking to implement on the property?
I've had a little bit of a dabble with scanning for multiples. So a couple of years ago, we scanned the right time after we mated to find out which ewes had multiples and singles and were empty. I guess I'd like to use that as a further piece of information to develop a lifetime ewe data for each ewe as she goes through our system. So I can tell maybe if she's been here for 5 years, whether she's had a single and a twin year in, year out, and cut 6 kilos of wool, and, you know, that sort of information is, you know, we can really find the high-performing animals in our flock and keep them for as long as we can and get rid of the ones that either don't rear a lamb or don't have much wool or those sort of things. So I'd like to continue with that, although the practicalities of that are not as easy as one may seem. But yeah.
Does that come down to technology, Chris?
No, I think it's more to do with management once you've got them. So we run, say, 6 mobs of sheep at lambing, and if you keep multiples separate, that doubles the mob. So then I've got to have 12 paddocks to maintain them. So, and the idea being that you feed your multiples or the multiple bearing ewes better than what you would your, so you give them the pick of the country. And it's difficult in our environment to achieve that. We've got some synergies with cropping, but there's also some problems in that we run out of paddocks about that time of year. So it's just the practical nature of how to manage that extra mobs of sheep, I suppose.
Yeah, when you spell it out like that, that does make a lot of sense. Chris, I understand also water technology has been something that you've introduced of late.
Our water is reticulated on a scheme on Eyre Peninsula. So we've got water meters situated on all the properties, and some properties have got more than one water meter. And so we've got leak detection units connected to the 3G network from each meter. And each day I get a text from each meter to say the total flow through the meter and the minimum flow. So that gives me an idea of, you know, if there's sheep are drinking or not drinking, and mainly if there's a leak. You know, if the minimum flow is 150 litres an hour, one would suggest somewhere there's a leak, whereas if the day before it was 20 an hour or even zero, if you can get your water lines to zero, it means that it's sealed and there's no leaks, and then the next day it'll be 150, where you know you've got to drive to that water line and search for a water leak.
That's first and foremost a great saving for you, but it must also give you peace of mind as well to be able to monitor remotely and know that water's getting through and everything's okay in terms of your flock having access to water.
Oh, definitely. Peace of mind, it is a real game changer, actually. Particularly with properties separated, you know, 50K between them, it was a case of driving to check the water every 3 or 4 days to make sure that, one, the sheep had water, especially, you know, in hot weather, and two, to check the drive the water line and make sure there's no leaks. So get a text every morning about 7:15 and it says everything's going all right. Well, that peace of mind for that day, you know, that the sheep have got water up there and you can go on with your other parts of the day. So,
Chris, I'd imagine that also might mean you're able to get away from the property for a little bit of a break with a bit more confidence.
Definitely enables that, I suppose. I guess the wife would like to imagine that's how it would work, but it does. It just gives you that bit more of a peace of mind. That's definitely the case. Yeah.
Chris Lim, it sounds like a range of technologies have helped you come a long way from those small dumpy sheep with dense yellow wool. To find out more about the systems being used by Chris, go to the red meat and wool section of the PRSA website, where you can find out more about the Focus Farms. For now though, Chris, thanks for joining me in the PRSA studio.
Thanks, Drew.
The Red Meat and Wool Growth Program is an initiative of Primary Industries and Regions SA and supported by Meat and Livestock Australia, SA Sheep and Cattle Industry Funds and Sheep Connect SA.